thank God for all of the saints who have come to worship. Amen. For we realize that the Lord is good and His mercy does endure forever. Have you been blessed already in worship? Blessed in song? Blessed in prayer? And blessed in proclamation? We pray you shall be. Won't you stand to your feet with me and turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew. The Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. And although I've just listed one verse there, I want to read all preceding nine verses, ending with the 10th verse of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Say amen, we locate the text.
Amen.
The Bible reads as follows. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the very simple title of the sermon today, Joy to the World. Joy to the World. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that words, written words given and words spoken, would not return void, but that the words that you gave us thousands of years ago will illuminate minds, encourage hearts, and ultimately, God, I pray that they would convict souls. I do ask that you would have your way today. You've already been present. You've already been here. You are present and you are here. And we ask that you will continue to tabernacle in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. That we all, God, may receive that which you have purpose for us to get. And that we would leave here informed and inspired because of your word. And ultimately, I pray that we will all be convicted and changed, some to a walk with you for the very first time, and others, oh God, to walk with you in the blessed name of Jesus our Christ. We love you and we thank you. And we give you the glory and the honor. In the blessed name of Jesus, we do pray. Let God's people say together, amen,
amen.
And amen. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Bless you, ushers. We thank the Lord for your service. and we thank God for everyone's presence. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we do rejoice and we are glad in it. We come on this Sunday before Christmas, the Sunday which is the fourth Sunday of Advent, Sunday in which we light the last candle on our Advent wreath, which sits to my left on our piano, Sunday in which Christians all around the world are preparing for the coming birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a Sunday in which there should be great joy and great happiness, for this is the Sunday that precedes the time when we believe the Lord has come. And because we believe the Lord has come, and we believe the Lord is coming again, then that we are people that are exceedingly glad. And that's really the verse and the focus I want to give of today's sermon, that we are not just glad, but that we are exceedingly glad. That we're not just happy, but that we are exceedingly happy. That we're not just joyful, that we are exceedingly joyful. Somebody say exceedingly. That we would exhibit and exude a certain sense of being, if not any other Sunday, on the Sunday that before Jesus was born. There ought to be just a little bit of difference in you this week. Amen, somebody. I know it's Christmas rush. I know you're last minute Christmas shopping. I got a few more gifts I need to get. Amen. But in the rush and the hustle and the bustle of it all, there ought to be a gift that we give to the world of being exceedingly reflective of the joy of the Lord. That on this Sunday and this week, if none other, that there ought to be a glow about you, a shine about you, a reflection about you that might cause folks to say, is everything all right? Or I just detected something a little different about you. Because if all the rest of the 50 weeks that preceded this week have been exceeding good or exceeding expectation, then this week ought to be exceedingly, just a little bit more than what the prior ones have been. And so I want to share this verse with you because it is powerful. And different translations will interpret the adjectival use of exceedingly with a different perhaps translation with it, but the moniker, right, the word exceedingly, they rejoice exceedingly, I should say adverbial use, not adjectival, it reflects this sense of amplifying the verb rejoice that goes before it. And so this notion then of we are rejoicing would give us a sense of understanding that say that we ought to rejoice exceedingly. And so it presumes that there's some joy there already. And if you didn't bring any joy this morning, then shame on you. It assumes that you woke up this morning with the Lord somewhere on your mind. Stayed on Jesus. And it assumes that when you came up, when you parked in the, I know you couldn't find the first parking space you were looking for, and that may have robbed you of a little bit of your joy, but I pray that there was some joy that you brought, and so that what you're doing now is amplifying the joy, exceeding the joy that was there, that when you came into the house of prayer this morning, you entered into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and you were exceedingly glad. That this is the Sunday, the one we've been anticipating, the one we've been expecting, the one for which we've been lighting candles all the last 4 weeks. It is this Sunday that brings us to a time of exceedingly great joy, that we would rejoice exceedingly. There will be a cup running over. There will be a little extra flow. There will be an afterglow, that even when you stop, there's still something that's moving, that there is an exceedingly, abundantly great spirit of praise and worship and thanksgiving that you bring to worship on this Sunday morning. And so I want to talk a little bit today about joy, because this notion that they rejoiced exceedingly is where I really want to center my thoughts today. That those worshipers that found the babe Christ, those who were sent out, those emissaries on behalf of the king, those who went out as ambassadors of royalty, that they were looking for something, and when they found it, they rejoiced exceedingly. And I could really just spend the whole time just on this one verse. I'm not going to, but let me just stay here just a little while, because if you're an emissary for somebody looking for something, once you found what you're looking for, there ought to be a sense of satisfaction and joy that which you were looking for has now been found. Some of y'all are missing that point. But if you're not looking for anything, maybe somebody's looking for you. I was once lost, but now I'm found, and was blind, but now I see. So if you're not looking for somebody, rejoice in the fact that you have been found, if you haven't found anything. Because before we first loved him, before we loved him, he first loved us. And I'm so grateful today that the Lord is faithful to us in that sense, that he is looking for us even when we don't know we need to be looked for. Some of us think we have it going on and we don't need to be looked for. Some of us think we have been exceedingly faithful and we don't need any grace. Some of us think we've done everything we're supposed to do. We don't need any mercy. But I'm grateful today that God has found me. And so because I have been found, I want to keep looking for him. And so the emissaries, the ambassadors, were out looking for the babe. And I just challenge us today, are we looking for Jesus today? I know we come to church every Sunday, but are you looking for him? I know you're singing the choir every Sunday, but are you looking for him? I know you come to the door and you usher, you stand on the door, but are you looking for him? Are you looking for something deeper? Are you looking for something richer? Are you looking for more? Are you looking for greater? Are you just satisfied going through the motions? Or are you looking for something? And I bless the Lord that the emissaries, the ambassadors, were looking for the babe. They were sent out as those who were charged to look for Jesus. And when they found him, they rejoiced exceedingly. There are a lot of verses in the Bible that uses the word joy. And one of them, I'm going to run through several of them, and these are among the top four. If there were Darrell Armstrong's top 10 verses for joy in the Bible, I'm going to give you my top four. Amen. Number one is Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may tarry for a night. We often say weeping may endure for a night, but I like that old time word, that old King James Version word, right? Corey's laughing. Some of my Thursday Bible study folk are laughing. We had a conversation about translation, that what happens when you take different words from the old King James to the new King James, from NIV to the NASB to the RSV, and all these different translations. But that word tarry has a different kind of meaning to it for me, because some folk need to learn how to tarry before the Lord. They need to learn how to stay on bended knee. They need to learn how to keep praising the Lord. They need to learn how to persevere in their glory to God. And so the scripture says, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes with the morning. How many of you have heard that verse? We often cite it at funerals. I often cite it in different points of challenge that we may find. But note the emphasis on joy. Weeping endures for a night. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy does come in the morning. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gives us another seminal verse about joy. It says, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy. That key phrase, that key word that is mentioned among the nine in the fruit of the Holy Spirit: peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But joy is the word I want to highlight in that list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah 8:12 is a verse that I have been citing here recently over the last year quite often, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the
priest says, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's almost a statement like Nehemiah and Ezra saying, praise your way through a storm. The joy of the Lord will give you strength. In your praise, you will find the ability to keep going on. Some folks say, how am I going to keep? I don't know how I'm going to keep going on. Well, you don't know how you're going to keep going on if you don't praise Him. The more you praise Him, the more you're able to keep going on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anybody found strength in the joy of the Lord? Your ability to praise Him in the midst of adverse circumstances? Jude gives us a powerful verse also in his doxology that we find in the book that bears his name. And now unto Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present you faultless before Him with exceeding joy. There's that word again, exceeding joy. And so the word joy ought not be just taken for granted in the Bible. Whenever you see the word joy, there ought to be something that says, let me think more about what is being said about this particular word joy. There's a common definition. I use Random House today. I might use Webster tomorrow. But what the dictionary says that joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. And so when you have come to a point of satisfaction, or you have come to a point of realization, or you have come to a point of consummation, or you have come to a point where you have achieved of achievement, or whatever the case may be, that there is a feeling that comes over you, and some folk might describe that feeling as joy. I completed my course of study. I got the grade I was praying for. I got the A. I feel joyful. I got out of the hospital. I was scared when I went to see the doctor's report, but as a result of getting the report, my cancer is in remission. I feel not just happy, but most saints I know will say, I thank God. I feel joyful. I'm praising the Lord because what I thought was going to be is not. I feel joyful. So either this emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Joy might be used in various different grammatical senses. Joy might be used in a sense of a noun. It might be used in the sense of a verb. It might be used in the sense of an adjective. And so when you look at these different definitions and uses of joy, I want you to get a very clear statement around how the word can be used and how we might take the word to be used. I want to share with you a definition in Hebrew of the word joy. And so there are several. When you look at the text in the Old Testament, you'll find almost 15 different words that are used, Hebrew words that are used for joy. And in the Bible itself, depending on what translation you use, you might find over 150 different uses of the word joy between Old Testament and New Testament. But the words that are in Hebrew that are most often used, and I want you to put this screen up, again, it may sound like gobbledygook to some, but when you look at this word joy, go down a couple of slides too, where it says there are many Hebrew words for joy. One of them is simcha. Another one is gila. Another one is rena. And another one is osher. And those words in Hebrew will have different meanings depending on their different uses of the text. In Greek, the word for joy is not as varied. It really centers around one or two words, and often from the same root word, which is charis. Put this screen up. Charis, which in Greek is written with what looks like in English is an X, but in Greek is actually a C or a K sound. And so that word chara is often the word used for joy in the New Testament text. And it is based, as I mentioned, on the Greek word charis, which is the word for grace. And so it is fascinating to me that there is a link between grace and joy. And I like that link, because the fact of the matter is, whenever I am the recipient of God's grace or His mercy, I ought to take exceedingly great joy in the fact that He didn't have to do what He did, but He did it anyway. And so the only response, happiness isn't good enough for God. See, happy is when I look at my external circumstances and I may get a smile on my face if things are going my way, or I might get a frown on my face when things are not going my way. So when I'm happy, that doesn't do enough for what God has done for me. But I have joy because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. So therefore, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is not good enough for God, but joy, which is based on His grace, charis, gives me a sense that when I am the recipient of His grace, the only real response I can give Him is joy. I rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. I rejoice in my God who woke me up this morning. I have joy in God. I give joy back to God. So not only do I have it, but I also give it, because the joy that God has given to me, it is not based on what is around me. It comes from God, and so the only thing I can give back to God is that which comes from God. Anybody joyful this morning? I know you might be happy, but I'm not looking for happiness. I'm looking for joy. I'm looking for joy, the kind of joy the world can give and the kind of joy the world can't take away. And so in Greek, I want you to have this link between grace and joy. And as you go further in this word study of joy, I want to share that I believe that there are three different ways and reasons that we might take joy in the Lord, in our relationship with God. And again, I'm going to come back to Matthew 2:10, when the wise men went out looking for Jesus and when they found Him. But again, go with me on this journey in this world study of the Bible on the word joy. And on our website, after the sermon, you'll find these notes on the website, and you'll also find a three-part article that gives a great word study about joy. And so I want to commend that to our study for our reading and further research about joy. I want to talk about joy in affliction. I want to talk about joy in celebration. And then I want to talk about joy in continuation. So I want to say, how do we take joy in our afflictions? Why? It makes sense that we would be joyful in our celebrations. And then, what does it mean to have a continuous source of joy? And so let's look at what the Bible says about the use of joy in affliction. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy." Those who sow in tears, it presumes that you and I will cry sometimes. It presumes that you and I will have hard times. It presumes that you and I will go through difficult times. This has been a season of great challenge for us in the city of Trenton, hasn't it? With all of the death that have come our way, not only for those by natural death in progression. I got a chance to share a little bit of time with Sister Louise and her family. And Louise, your grandma was 88 years old, and there were some tears that flowed down the faces of the Shabazz and McCants and other members of the Taylor family, and yet they live. Mother Taylor lived a long time, 88 years. And we thanks be to God. Yesterday, we were with a saint over with the Carter Lyles family that celebrated the life of a grandma, a great-grandma, great-great-grandma who lived to be 96 years old. And what a blessing that was. But on the flip side of that, here recently, we've had 16-year-old children die. in the city of Trenton, gunned down as a result of gun murder. I want to highlight that gun violence, right, as sympathetic as I am to what happened in Connecticut, we must continue to hold up the reality that gun violence happens all the time, everywhere around the country. And although it is exceedingly painful to look at a six-year-old and seven-year-old pictures on that screen and see such vibrancy of life and potential of opportunity and possibility, and yet that same reality is true when they are 10 and when they're at 16, right? Life should never be closed on anybody at any time in their life. And yet we look and we see the sadness on faces, the tears. When I listen to the bells ring on Friday 26 times for the 26 murders that happened in Newtown, Connecticut, I paused right where I was, and I stopped as I watched CNN and listened to the bells ring, because it was a sad occasion, as is the death of anybody under any circumstances, but particularly under those circumstances. So those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy, the psalm writer says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, we want you to become imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul talks to the saints, and he says, I know you're being afflicted. I know you're going through some things, but understand that you can still have joy with the Holy Ghost on your side, even in the midst of your affliction. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And in Proverbs 10, verse 28, it says, the hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. And I think part of what is being said in these verses of affliction on joy, particularly in the Old Testament, is that when you go through things, your mindset makes a big difference. When you're going through the rough side of the mountain or down in the valley, how you approach that makes a difference. And so don't just say, woe is me, and look at how bad I am, and look at how bad off my circumstances are. Determine that you're going to give God praise even in the middle of your affliction, even in the middle of your circumstances. And so the medicine, a joyful heart, is good medicine for those who are hopeful in the Lord, right? That we believe that greater is the God that is inside of us. This thing that I'm in is but for a while. I don't know when I'm going to get out of it. I don't know when I'm going to get through it. But this thing is only for a little while. And God, I'm waiting for my breakthrough. And so until I get my breakthrough, I'm just going to have some medicine. I'm going to give myself a shot of adrenaline. I'm going to give myself a shot of a medicine. I'm going to take a pill in the morning, a joy pill. I'm going to thank God anyway. I'm going to praise Him in the middle of my circumstance. Joy in affliction, but there is also joy in celebration. If we go to Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And the reason I'm switching now is because, unlike affliction, which I've got to praise my way through the storm, I've got to be very intentional. I have to be deliberate in my praise when I'm being afflicted. But when I'm celebrating, it often then is a spontaneous eruption of joy that comes out. It often is a response, a knee-jerk response, because you are glad and gleeful and excited about what has happened or what is about to happen. And so there is a different sense of joy in affliction versus joy in celebration. And so the Bible says that in the heavens above us, when one saint gets up out of a seat, or when one saint who used to be a sinner comes down the aisle and say, I want a change in my life, even if the folk in the church don't give God praise, the Bible says the angels have a spontaneous eruption in the heavens. They have a knee-jerk reaction. They can't help themselves but to give God glory, because somebody has come to know the Lord. And if the angels are going to cry out, don't you know you and I ought to have a spontaneous eruption, a knee-jerk reaction, when the son or a daughter comes down the aisle and say, Lord, here I am. forgive me. Lord, I've sinned. I want a change in my life. We ought to be jumping up all over the church saying, thank you, God. Joy in celebration. Or when a husband for whom you've been praying, sisters, have come to submit their lives in a way like they've never done before. Or when a wife, brothers, for whom you've been praying, have come to submit her life like she's never done before. Or when your child, who you raised up in the church, has fallen away from the church, and you've been praying for them while they've been outside of the church, but when they come back down into the church, you jump up and shout because you are thankful that God spared their lives to even get to the house of prayer one more time. There is joy in celebration. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Luke chapter 1 verse 47 gives us Mary's great response when we are told in the scriptures that she is with child. Listen now. And her response is, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It's called the Magnificat in Latin. It's called the Magnificat because when you've been told you can't have a child, or when you have been told you are with child, but you have not known your husband, then you are asking yourself, God, how did this thing come to be? And there's some things we ought not ask God how it happened, but you ought to just thank God that it did happen. Because some of us get a little bit too analytical with God. Some of us get a little bit too logical with God. I've stopped trying to figure my blessings out and just say, God, I thank you. My spirit rejoices when God, my son, when I get a blessing and I don't know where it came from, I didn't deserve it. The windows of heaven opened up and God poured me out something I should not have received. My pride, my love, my spirit does the same thing that Mary says. My God, I rejoice in you. I praise you. I have joy in my celebration. So there's not only joy in affliction, but there's joy in celebration. But I want to end today, go towards my final point by celebrating this last statement of joy in continuation. I believe that it's not only good to have joy in bad times and joy in good times, but you need to have joy at all times. Because some of us conditionalize our joy. But when you do that, it's not joy, it's happiness. As I said earlier, joy is a condition that is not contingent upon external circumstances. Happiness is. And so when I'm happy, when things are going my way, praise the Lord. When I'm not happy, things are not going my way, praise the Lord also. But in all things, that's a point of spiritual maturity. When you've come to celebrate God and you have a continuous loop of joy. I remember when I first started studying computers way back in 7th grade. I was at the Mulholland Junior High School. And we got these old antiquated machines out and we were doing different statements around programming, right? Some very basic programming. And I remember our teacher gave us a statement about a continuous loop. That if you're not careful, you can give code that makes the machine or the little character walk, but it will keep walking, right? It gets caught up in a loop and it keeps doing the same thing. And although I often say there are things we don't want to keep doing, because when you keep doing the same thing, amen, and expecting different results, that's insanity, right? And yet, in a spiritual realm, I think there is one statement that I think is good to have a continuous loop, and that's in your praise, and that's in your joy. See, I want to get to a point in my life that no matter what my circumstances are, I keep going back to a continuous loop. No matter where I am, I keep going back to a continuous loop. It doesn't matter what they said about me, I keep going back to a continuous loop. I don't care how they look at me, I'm going to keep going back to a continuous loop. I don't care what they did to me, I'm going to keep going back to a continuous loop. I can be up, I'm going to have a praise loop. I'm going to be down, I can have a joy loop. You want to say that? I want a joy loop. I want to keep going round and round and round in my praise. I going round and round in my joy. I want to learn how to praise Him and give Him joy at all times, at every time, in any time. I believe the scriptures gives a statement around that. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I don't care if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, it's still the day. I don't care if you woke up when things weren't going, it still is the day. Because just opening up your eyes, just putting your feet on the ground, just having a roof over your head, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. I just made up my mind, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Acts 13:52 and says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit as new folk came to know the Lord." Matthew 25:21 says, "And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and now I want to make you ruler over many things. Come on up a little bit higher. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Every day shall be Sunday over there, and Sabbath shall know no end. I'm going to walk around heaven all day. We're going to join in with the cherubim and the seraphim. And we're going to be a part of a number that no man can number. And we're going to sit around the throne of God's grace. And there are going to be 24 thrones and 24 elders sitting around there with Him. And there's going to be a river that makes its way through the city. And there's going to be leaves, trees, the leaves of which will be for the healing of the nation. And there's going to not be a need for a moon there, because there'll never be a midnight there. Every day is going to be a sunny day. And I want you to know that when you get there, you're going to be rejoicing. You're going to be in a continuous feedback loop where God is to be praised at all times. And so if I'm going to do that in heaven, I'm just going to do a dress rehearsal down here. I'm just going to get ready for heaven down here. I'm just going to get myself conditionalized to give God praise every day I get up. Because if I walk up there, I got to walk down here with joy. So I'm going to go back to the verse I gave earlier, Matthew 2:10. It says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." And it is my statement to us today that one of the great Christmas songs of this season is "Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." And so this great Christmas song gives us a statement around what does it mean to find Jesus and to have joy in finding him. And as I've given this basic word study for you today to understand what it means to have joy in your afflictions and joy in your celebrations, understand that we can find Jesus in a deeper way every day. And so when the text says in Matthew chapter 2 verse number 10, right, when it gives us this statement of what the enemy tried to do, and when they who were sent out found Jesus, when it gives a statement that they were supposed to come back to the king and give him a report to King Herod about where Jesus was so they can stamp out the great blessing of who Jesus was designed to be and supposed to be, the Bible says they were divinely warned by the Spirit to go a different way. And because they went a different way, singing and giving God glory, they didn't just stay there and give God praise, but they went out and they began, as the great story or the great song talks, to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. There is an evangelical statement and there is a discipleship statement right there in verse number 10. The discipleship statement is that when they found him, they rejoiced. And the blessing of that is that when you and I get a deeper sense of who Jesus is, and you keep looking more and keep searching for him, the Bible says, knock and ye shall find, right? Seek ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. If you're looking for Jesus, I believe you will find him. But the question is, are you looking for him? Are you looking for him every Sunday you come to church? Are you looking for him somewhere in the hardship of your afflictions? Are you looking for him in the joy of your celebrations? And my statement to you is to keep looking for him. Because I believe you, the more you look, the more you'll find. The more you knock, the more you shall be open. The more you step out on faith, the more God opens up doors. And so I want you to keep looking. It's a discipleship. I keep searching for him. I keep looking. I want more of Jesus. I want more. But now that I've found him, I just can't stay here and keep him to myself. And there's an evangelical statement. I gotta go out and tell somebody about the one I have found. If God has been good to you, if God has brought you from a mighty long way, if God has opened up doors for you, if God has built bridges for you, then you want to go out and tell somebody, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. The angels in heaven and the saints on earth rejoice in God our Savior. And so I want to share this word study on joy with the saints, that we may have deeper understanding about the nuances of how the word joy is used in Scripture. But understand, it's not just having joy in good times. It's not just having joy in bad times. It's having joy at all times. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Everybody standing to their feet. Choir's going to sing a song of praise as we invite someone to come out and give us your hand and give God your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. If there is someone here today who does not know God the Father, and I'm not just talking about any God, I'm talking about God the Father that is talked about in these scriptures. If you don't know God the Father, I want to offer him to you through God the Son. And so Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, exceedingly. I want you to have more. I want you to have an overflow than what you have right now. And the only way you can have that is by letting go and letting God. Yes. In the name of Jesus. So there's someone here today. I want you to step out and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to step out and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to give God my joy and my praise in spite of my circumstances, and in some cases because of my circumstances. I'm going to give God the joy and the praise. Choir's going to sing, the invitation to discipleship and the invitation to membership is extended to someone here today. Won't you come? Won't you step out? Give God a... Won't you come? Won't you come? In the name of Jesus. Is there one?
Joy.
Is there one?
God's great joy.
Bless your name, God.
Joy.
Oh, down in.
Down in my soul.
Bless your name, God. Is there one today?
The sound of the angels.
angels, come and see the child who can make you whole. Lying in a manger, away from harm and danger. Oh, joy, joy.
Joy,
God's great joy.
Joy, joy.